Welcome to the program today, Jennifer Lemmerman of Project Bread. She is the Senior Director of Government Affairs to talk about a new initiative that Project Bread has called School Meals for All. Jennifer, thanks for spending some time with us. Really appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me.
That's our pleasure. We're happy to learn about this initiative and also let our viewers know about it. Surprise to me that School Meals for All isn't already just a given. Why is this even an issue?
Yeah, so, you know, I think everybody's sort of used to the system of school meals that we currently have and that most of us grew up in. It's been in place since World War II, and it categorizes children into three categories based off of their family's income and, you know, a variety of factors that are based off of need. And so kids either receive a free meal or they pay a reduced price or they pay a full price. And you know, every year kids have to sort of, their families have to fill out the forms to prove which category they would fit into. And that's just the system that we've always known. But what we're seeing is that system is not working. And there are lots of kids who really need the support of nutrition while they're at school. We know that kids can receive up to 50% of their calories while they're in the school building. And that of the food insecure kids in Massachusetts, of which there are far too many, about 27% of those food insecure kids don't qualify for the support of a free or reduced price meal. So we are definitely missing children who are going hungry while they're in school, and hungry kids can't learn.
I think this is going to be news to a lot of folks that there are barriers to children who otherwise would benefit from these meals, particularly now during a pandemic. Are those barriers erased, at least temporarily?
Yes. Yeah, so when COVID-19 happened and the school shut down, almost overnight, this barrier came down, this barrier that we, you know, were told for decades could never come down. And what happened was the federal government issued waivers that allowed for school meal sites to feed all children, 0 to 18 years old, could go and receive a breakfast and a lunch at these meal sites throughout their communities. And this was really a recognition by the federal government and implemented by the state government that at the very base level, what we need to be doing is feeding our kids. And so right now that's still in place as the pandemic continues, you know, and we know that this is needed. This was needed all the time. You know, COVID-19 has certainly exacerbated and shed a light on the issue of food insecurity, but it was always here. So, you know, in Massachusetts, the rate of food insecurity prior to COVID was 9%. So, you know, almost 1 in 10 of our neighbors. It's now 18%. And when you add children into the household, it's up to 22%. Another piece that's very important is that the disparities in those numbers, when you look at Black and Latino households, those numbers go up to 36% and 31% respectively for households with children. So, you know, this is one of the federal nutrition program of school meals was meant to respond to this need. And it's a need that's always been there.
So why can't the barriers just stay down then? And why does it need, you know, legislative action to do that?
Yeah, so this is, you know, these waivers were meant to be temporary. The federal government is eventually, we assume is eventually going to end these waivers. And at that point, we revert back to the old program. And so we will see all these families that have gotten such a lifeline from these school meal sites, finding themselves again in a situation where they need to make a choice between, you know, school lunch money and the electric bill. And so at Project Bread, we believe that barrier shouldn't go back up. There's no reason to revert back to a system that we know wasn't working. So we have brought together the Feed Kids Solve Hunger Coalition, which is a broad coalition of stakeholders in Massachusetts, from food security advocates to children's advocates and healthcare providers and businesses, who are saying we can't go back, and we need to make sure that children in school, no matter who their family is or what their situation is, that they can receive the nutrition that they need to learn. So we have partnered with Senator DiDomenico and Representative Vargas in the state legislature to file legislation that would require that all children in school receive a meal at no cost to themselves or their families.
Okay, so would action at the state level suffice, or does this need action, you know, by Senator Warren, Senator Markey, and the federal level as well?
Yeah, I mean, it can happen in either place, actually, and we have seen bills on the federal level that thus far have not been acted upon, all, you know, to fruition. They have not passed, and so you know, at the state level, we're saying we can't wait. So it can be passed at the state level, but of course, we would love to see action at the federal level.
Sure. Has there been any kind of cost estimate, Jennifer, as to what the impact would be on the state budget if those barriers were removed?
Sure. Yeah. So the way that we've crafted this legislation in partnership with all of the stakeholders and with the legislators is to make sure that we're maximizing the federal programs. There are federal programs in place. And in fact, right in Quincy, our child nutrition outreach program is working closely with schools to make sure that they're able to take advantage once things sort of go back to the waivers end, that they're able to take advantage of these federal programs and feed as many kids as possible. Our legislation would make sure that's happening across the state and would bring in as many federal dollars, but of course the state would have to pick up the rest of the kids that under our current system the federal government doesn't pay for. So, you know, we do have an estimate of how much that might cost, but it depends greatly on how much the participation increases. We believe that kids who are already, you know, who are already in the categories that receive meals, the participation would increase greatly there too, because we know that two of the greatest barriers are cost and stigma. This legislation would end the stigma. So it makes sense that participation would increase as well. We believe really that the cost of doing nothing, the cost that we're on, the trajectory of child nutrition, or I'm sorry, of child food insecurity is much greater than what this legislation would cost. We know that the health implications and the educational implications of kids not eating at school are far greater than what it would cost to feed every kid in the state.
Yeah, you mentioned the stigma. I think that's important to point out that if you were to succeed with this legislation, really, students would never know, you know, if they're getting a meal provided to them or not, because they're all basically on an equal playing field at that time.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you mentioned also here in Quincy, I know the director of nutritional services for the public schools, Sarah DeFore, is a strong advocate of this for you.
Yes. She's been wonderful. Quincy Public Schools have been proactive about making sure that kids are getting fed. And, you know, just even this summer with the school meal sites, many were operated by Quincy Public Schools, and there were 63,000 meals served to kids in Quincy just this summer, just in July and August. And that was a threefold increase from 2019. So it shows the need there. And so Quincy has been, public schools and Sarah and our child nutrition outreach team have been working really hard to make sure that, you know, we hope this legislation passes and all kids are fed, but also in the meantime, that Quincy is able to take advantage of the programs that are available to feed kids.
Any sense right now, Jennifer, for how it's being received on Beacon Hill?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, there's been a wonderful reception so far. It was introduced a little bit over a week ago, and we have over 50 co-sponsors in the State House that have enthusiastically signed on and said, this is absolutely what we need to be doing.
Okay. Is the Quincy delegation part of that? Do you know?
We have some, but we will keep working on it. And, you know, we know that this is needed in Quincy, just like it's needed all over.
Yeah. I know, from the outset of the pandemic, Project Bread has really been on the front lines of making sure that, like the Greater Boston Food Bank and local food pantries have enough supply. It's just been a need that has not stopped.
Yes, absolutely. And it's going to continue. You know, this is something that is a long-term issue. And even as we recover from this pandemic, it's going to continue to be a need.
Are you able to, during this pandemic, to have any kind of in-person events for Project Bread?
So we have our annual Walk for Hunger, which I think a lot of people know Project Bread because of the Walk for Hunger. It is the oldest walk in the country. It's our sort of premier event. It will be virtual this year. You know, it's that's just the way we have to do it. But last year, the reception was amazing. And people, I think, understand right now how much of a need this is. And so we just opened registration this week. We definitely invite everyone to go to projectbred.org and join us. You can walk in your neighborhood. You know, you can do it whatever way makes the most sense for you, but it helps support a cause that's really needed right now.
And I always like to point out that the very first Walk for Hunger was held right here in Quincy.
That's right.
Yep. And keep up the tradition, I am sure, again this year. If folks would like to learn more about this initiative, Jennifer, or learn more about Project Bred, or maybe donate or volunteer, what are some good ways for them to do that?
So they can certainly visit our website, projectbred.org. If you want to learn more about the legislative campaign and the coalition, we are the Feed Kids Solve Hunger Coalition. You can visit us at feedkidsma.org. And, you know, you can always reach out and we would love to have you walk. We would love to have you become an advocate if you're interested in working with us in that capacity. But we definitely have something for everyone and we'd love to have you.
Yeah, that's so critical. You know, kids have been through so much already through this pandemic. Providing a simple meal, I know, is one of the really groundwork pieces of a child's development that is needed for anything else to be successful.
Absolutely, absolutely.
All right, anything else we should let folks know about right now?
I think that covers it. We're gonna, you know, you'll be hearing a lot from us as we move forward on this initiative and also the walk and we look forward to continuing this progress and making sure that we are taking the steps necessary to end childhood hunger in this state.
Great. Well, please keep us updated on the progress of this bill and check back again if we can do anything to get news out for you. We'd be happy to do that.
Well, thank you very much. We absolutely will.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.